Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. My name is Joey Weaver. He is Mike McDaniel. Mike, big congratulations to the National League playoff participant New York Mets. They won 101 games. They led the NL East for almost the entire season, and they have now ended their postseason after a short three-game series with the Padres. So congratulations to the Mets on a great season. I just wanted to start with that.
They got one hit by Joe Musgrove.
Yes, they did. Joe Musgrove and whatever allegedly foreign substance was on his ears, it turns out.
Turns out the umps didn't find anything. So, Buck Showalter, gamesmanship or not, man, that's a rough look.
Mets as hell. Good on them. Mike, week six recap. It was a busy week in the ACC.
It was.
Kind of some interesting outcomes here, I felt like, in kind of a few different ways. Let's start with, I think, the biggest one, the most interesting, exciting game that happened. Number 14, NC State 19, Florida State 17. This game was a defensive struggle, to say the least. NC State's offense, so I'll say this, Devin Leary goes out late in the third quarter with an injury. He's found on the sideline with like his arm in a sling, basically. Does not look great. I think he's got like a shoulder thing, maybe. Not a good situation for them, but even with him in the game, NC State's offense is struggling a little bit. We can give some credit to Florida State's defense here, but this NC State offense, you know, it's like Thayer Thomas and not a whole lot else coming from the skill positions. They're struggling to get any sort of explosive plays out of this group right now.
I mean, this is a week-over-week issue now for NC State in the passing game. Kirk Herbstreit mentioned it on College Game Day yesterday morning. He was like, you know what? Because Herbstreit, of course, called the game between NC State and Clemson last Saturday, and he said, you know what? I expected more out of Devin Leary in the NC State offense this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said kind of seeing him in person, you know, he had watched their games, obviously, prepping for it, and, you know, he follows all the college games, of course. But he mentioned that, you know, he expected more out of the NC State offense. And you know what? So did we.
Yeah.
So did we. And we still haven't really seen, I think, kind of what NC State was supposed to be offensively. I don't think they've necessarily panned out the way that I think a lot of us have expected. Now, you know, from a wins and losses standpoint, NC State is still very good. You know, they're the team I think that we all expected them to be from a wins and losses standpoint. But, you know, they're doing it in a different way, right? Like defensively, they've been probably even more solid than I thought they would be, you know, coming into the year. You know, we knew they had a good front seven, a really good linebacking core, but I think defensively they've been better than I think I thought they would be. And offensively, you know, while they've struggled, they've done enough to get by. Now, Saturday is the prime example of doing enough to get by because NC State was trailing at halftime of this game. They couldn't get anything going offensively. And like you mentioned, Devin Leary exited the game. At first, it looked like a head injury, ended up being a shoulder deal. I had a few different games on, and I saw on Twitter, they're like, oh, Devin Leary out with a head injury. So I immediately like went and looked and saw that, you know, he kind of was curled up on the sideline a little bit and ended up, you know, like you mentioned, with his arm in a sling when they showed him later. So it looks like a shoulder injury. You know, that's not great for NC State, obviously not good. NC State was in a position, of course, with Jack Chambers coming into the game, former walk-on. I mean, he made some plays in the running game. The stats don't jump off the page, but if you watch the game, you know, he picked up and converted a couple of key third downs in the running game.
They were losing when he came in.
They were, and he did enough offensively to provide them some stability at the quarterback position in a really, really tough spot. So former walk-on coming in, didn't complete a pass, but had 39 yards rushing and commanded the offense in a way that needed to be commanded with, you know, them losing a game against a good Florida State team. Like, don't want to take anything away from NC State. This is a good Florida State team they just beat on Saturday. And finding a way to win when you lose your starting quarterback is like definition of winning your clunkers, right? Like that's exactly what you need to do. And, you know, to get this game at home, I think was crucial because I think if they were going on the road without Devin Leary or Devin Leary exiting the game, I think maybe we're looking at a different outcome here. But we're kind of skirting around the final drive where Jordan Travis throws the abhorrent interception and Florida State's in field goal range, or at least on the cusp of field goal range. And we're all wondering why they're not running the ball. And, you know, everybody was bagging on Jordan Travis, you know, how, oh my God, it was a terrible throw. It was this, it was that. it was pretty clear there was some miscommunication between he and the receiver there.
Jordan,
you know,
Travis,
they were kind of,
he should have been put in that position to make that throw to begin with. Like,
I agree. It was a play calling thing.
Yeah, that was a dangerous throw. Like, you should be making high percentage throws at that point, if anything. You should not be throwing it up into double coverage, you know, whatever it was, and it just sort of fell into an NC State defender's lap.
Yeah, it was just kind of lobbed into the kind of the front corner of the end zone there.
On the far side of the field, there
was miscommunication. On the far side of the field, it made no sense. Like, the play call didn't make any sense. The throw didn't make any sense. The receiver ran a different route than I think Travis thought he would be running. You know, not to put, I forget who the receiver was there on that play. But regardless, like, I don't know whose fault it was, but ultimately I'm putting it on the Florida State offensive coaching staff for even putting it in the air at that point. I think when you're, again, Travis has been great all year. I've been beating the drum for Jordan Travis, as you know, I don't think he's going to win ACC Player of the Year, but I was making kind of that was a beginning of the year, that was a shtick, and now it was like kind of a thing because he was playing so well.
I didn't think it was a shtick, for what that's worth.
I mean,
I thought you were serious.
I mean, he's been well, I mean, I said after they played Duquesne and won by like 1,000, you know, it's like, oh yeah, Jordan Travis, player of the year. It's like week zero, they're beating Duquesne by a million. Yeah,
August,
that's definitely
ACC
the time to call your
month.
Shot. Right, exactly. The only ACC player, right? Only ACC team playing there. Yeah, but that was a unfortunate series of events there for Florida State on Saturday night. I will say that.
And credit to NC State. I mean, they you know, pulled out the win here. Again, they're 5-1. They're ranked. And like you said, I mean, we can talk about, you know, what does it look like aesthetically, and how do I, you know, do I feel like this is going to be sustainable moving forward, that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, again, they're winning games. And other than me saying preseason I thought they would beat Clemson and kind of losing in a heartbreaking fashion there last week, they're pretty much right where we thought they would be. And so, you know, everything's still in front of them and on the table. I don't guess you can control your own destiny until Clemson loses. And they would need to lose twice, I guess, at this point. But otherwise, I mean, you could still be in line for like a New Year's Six Bowl if you win out here. And you could still have a really good season. And so, again, this is a really veteran-heavy team, a team that I think a lot of guys came back that didn't have to, in interest of seeing what they could do together. And so I'm excited to kind of see where they go from here. Offensively, though, I mean, and this is the thing I wanted to point out, and this is the thing that bothers me a little bit, is that NC State did have three straight drives in kind of the second half that ended in field goals.
Right.
And those were the three drives that gave them the lead, that gave them the win, for what that's worth. So, again, scored more points than Florida State, you won the game. Like, I can only criticize so much. But what I'm saying is you kicked field goals on drives where you snapped the ball from Florida State's 25-yard line, Florida State's 13-yard line, and Florida State's 8-yard line. Like, those are three separate drives where you got that far into Florida State territory and you couldn't get in the end zone. And
yeah,
that's the thing I would be concerned about moving forward, especially I don't know what the status is. I haven't seen an update on Devin Leary. If he can't go and Jack Chambers is going to be the guy, this offense is going to look different, because somebody pointed out that Jack Chambers comes into this game late in the third quarter in replacing Devin Leary and finishes the game with fewer completed passes than Thayer Thomas had.
Yeah, not great.
Thayer Thomas completed a pass. They lost 5 yards. Jack Chambers went 0-for-1 passing. Otherwise, it was just straight run plays for NC State. So we'll see how this translates moving forward. But, again, congrats to the Wolfpack on getting the win here in their 5-1 and ranked and in the middle of what is, you know, looking like a pretty good season so far.
And I haven't gone back to look. I haven't had a chance today to see what the post-game win expectancy was for NC State. It couldn't have been very high, considering the red zone struggles they had. It couldn't have been. So
I would guess, and not having looked at it or calculated it or anything like that, I would guess this is pretty toss-up-y. This is pretty accurate of like a two-point game.
Agree.
And credit to Florida State for covering 2.5 here, by the way. Gross.
Yeah. Yeah, real gross. And by the way, like, Florida State, I know we talked about how NC State has everything, you know, in front of them. For Florida State, like, I mentioned this on the preview, this is kind of a really tough stretch they're in here in October, where they're playing like some tough competition, but they've looked pretty good. I know their defense didn't play well against Wake Forest, but I think they've kind of like looked the part of a team that is definitely on the ascent in the ACC compared to where they've been. Like, my opinion of Florida State doesn't really change based off of a tough road loss against a good NC State team. Mm-hmm. I still feel pretty good about where Florida State's at, where they're heading under Norvell.
Yep, yep. Mike, anything else before we move on?
Nah, they're good.
NC State 19, Florida State 17. Let's go to South Beach or Coral Gables or Miami Gardens or wherever. North Carolina 27, Miami 24. Mike, if I know that you know the answer to this, but if I said over under 950 yards of offense in a game where these two teams combined for 51 points, what would you say?
The answer would be over, Joey.
Technically, it would be. Yeah, these teams combined for 1,008 yards of offense in a game where neither of them scored 30 points. This was an absolute clinic in what not to do in the red zone. It was turnovers. It was missed field goals. It was turnovers on downs. It was a disaster of people trying to actually finish drives. But, boy, they got to the position to finish those drives. They just never got that done, it seemed like.
Yeah, I mean, this was a total disaster for both teams, really, but mm-hmm. especially Miami. Miami's in this weird spot now where they were supposed to be like the slam dunk pick to win the Coastal, and now they like can't stop anybody. I mean, they're getting to the point where everybody, you know, North Carolina was the easy target because they were playing on national TV multiple weeks in a row the first few weeks of the year. They were kind of the easy target with how poorly they were playing on the defensive side of the ball, but now Miami has lost three straight games. The A&M game, you know, on the road is a tough loss where neither team could score. But you give up 45 to Middle Tennessee State, and you probably should have given up more points to North Carolina, quite frankly. You know, you surrender over 500 yards of offense in this football game. Miami's defense is in a really rough way right now. Mm-hmm. And offensively, they're not executing well enough and consistently enough to kind of fill the void, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like, if the defense is going to be playing as poorly as it is, like, the offense needs to pick up the slack, right? We've talked about that with North Carolina all year. Miami's offense is not operating the way that North Carolina's offense is operating right now, where North Carolina can overcome poor defensive performances because Drake May is having an all-ACC type season as a freshman. Miami's not having that right now. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have that kind of offense, you know, consistently enough. Do they have some explosive plays? Sure, they do. They're kind of struggling with finding consistent explosive plays in the passing game, and then for whatever reason in this game, they couldn't run the ball at all.
Mm-hmm. As Tyler Van Dyke throws for almost 500 yards. Like,
yeah, everybody came out of the Middle Tennessee State game concerned about Tyler Van Dyke, and he throws for nearly 500 yards in this game, and they still found a way to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So, just not a great look for Miami here. I know a late field goal ended up pushing Carolina over the top, and Miami was driving to try to put themselves in position late in this game, and they end up throwing an interception. Van Dyke throws an interception late, but this is just not a good look for Mario Cristobal in year one. And it's going to take some time, but I do feel like they had the talent there to be much better than 2-3 through five games.
I would completely agree. Yeah, this is... You understand when it's a bit of a reset year and, you know, not quite a year zero situation maybe, but again, new staff, things to get used to. It's going to be a little bit clunky to begin with. But, yeah, Miami not really meeting expectations so far. I don't think I would be really surprising a Miami fan to be saying that. Like, Miami fans would probably tell you, at the very least, they're not meeting expectations, if not – some other crazy message board stuff about firing somebody and who cares what the buyout is and, you know,
right.
Yada, yada, yada. So not the best look for Miami. Drake May consistent here, but again, I mean, a couple interceptions. Both these teams, it's incredible to me how you rack up all these yards and move the ball this well and then just barely turn it into any points at all. It's just incredible to me.
It's pretty impressive. It's impressively bad. I mean, it's just impressive. It was a comedy of errors in the red zone.
Yeah, they had 13 points combined in the second half. Like, it was 21-17 at halftime, and the game finished 27-24. Like, just outstanding.
What was the game total on this again? Do you have that in front of you?
I could pull it up here.
Did this game go over?
It was like 67.5.
So the answer is no. That is sickening. That is sickening.
Pretty gross.
You have over 1,000 yards of offense, and the game doesn't go over. You got to be sick if you're holding an over card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. North Carolina is 5-1, and if I'm not mistaken, are they ranked in the new AP polls we record here on Sunday night? Let me pull this up. This is good podcasting. I feel like they are. No. Nope. They're 26.
I don't believe they are.
They're 26. Yeah. They are the most also receiving votes. They are 25th in the coaches poll.
Is North Carolina the worst 5-1 team in the country? I love playing this game. I do this on social media with Syracuse. You know, Syracuse the worst 5-0 team in the country?
It is quite possible. And we can try to go through this real quick. North Carolina, better or worse than Tulane?
Probably better.
Better or worse than NC State or Wake Forest?
Worse than both, definitively.
Kansas State.
State was looking iffy. I'm going to go worse. Yeah, I'm going to go worse.
Illinois, I'm going worse.
I mean, Illinois is a wagon. Continue.
Liberty?
Defensively only. Yes. Probably better than Liberty. Yes.
Okay, all
so
right.
That's two teams.
Let's see. Oregon?
No, they're not better than Oregon.
Mississippi State?
No.
And 5-0 James Madison.
I mean 5-0 and number 25 James Madison.
I don't know. I think there's a couple of ACC teams about to get to know James Madison here over the next month or so. We'll see.
Probably gonna lose them. By the way, James Madison is gonna go like 10-2, and they're not eligible for postseason at all because they're a first year FBS program. Isn't that sick?
I was gonna say James Madison would go like 7-5, 8-4 in the ACC this year. I think
this is, I mean, an absolutely flawless transition to the FBS.
Mm-hmm. Really impressive.
Best team in Virginia.
North Carolina 27, Miami 24. Again, North Carolina wins and continues winning. Miami loses and continues losing, but I'm not sure that I was particularly impressed with either team, and I don't know that either fan base is like really, really happy with where they're at. Even North Carolina being 5-1, I think there's still kind of a sense of skepticism, but if you're a Carolina fan listening to this and you are really stoked about your team, please contact our customer service line at Mike McDaniel SI on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Go do that.
Light it up. I had some Virginia Tech football players lighting up my DMs over the weekend. We'll get to that shortly. Continue.
We will get there. All right.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech 23, Duke 20 in overtime.
Why not?
Why not? Speaking of, by the way, this is a really funny thing. I'm going to Jack this from Cover 3 podcast. Go listen to them. They're a lot of fun to listen to. But the question was posed on the recap last night from Cover 3. Who finishes the year with more ACC wins? Mario Cristobal or Brent Key? And if you look at the schedule ahead of Georgia Tech, it might come down to the Georgia Tech-Miami game, honestly.
Can't wait.
Georgia Tech is now 2-0 under Brent Key. I made the comment afterwards, Duke did not play their best game. It did not help at all that they didn't have Jalen Calhoun. But Riley Leonard, I mean, Kobe Bryant Memorial Volume Shooter of the Week Award nominee here, 20 of 41 for 136 yards.
Averaged, he's been better.
Averaged a shade over 3 yards an attempt in this game. Not
he
good.
He has been better.
Yeah, once again, no Jalen Calhoun here. But I made the point, talking to somebody, between this and the Pittsburgh game last week, it's like this is the second straight week I've seen Georgia Tech play against a team where they were clearly not having their best day. And I'm starting to wonder if there's something to that, if that's not just a coincidence, if that might be a bit of a Georgia Tech's defense isn't terrible kind of situation. I don't know what it is, but Jeff Sims, I thought, played pretty well in this game. His ability to contribute in the run game is huge, and he's starting to show a sense of toughness, and you know, he'll fight for those extra yards instead of stepping out of bounds short of the sticks, things like that. I was pretty impressed with Georgia Tech in this game. Duke comes back, and they score 14 points in the fourth quarter. They had a punt return for a touchdown that was kind of frustrating to watch. And then a final drive aided by a couple of questionable penalties that got him into the end zone with about 10 seconds left to send the game to overtime. And then it felt like there was a little bit of a ball don't lie moment when Duke then got a really pretty questionable penalty in overtime that pushed them back and set them up for a long field goal that they missed to end the game. But I don't know. Again, Georgia Tech wins again. They're 3-3, which in a lot of ways kind of where we thought they might be, just in the strangest way that they've gotten here. I continue to be impressed with the way that this team is playing under Brent Key. I think there is a chance. There is an outside chance at this point, Mike, that Georgia Tech is going to go bowling.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to float something to you mm-hmm. again, because when it happens, I just want to have it on record on multiple podcasts I've been beating this drum for Georgia Tech permanent head coach. Take the interim tag off. Georgia Tech permanent head coach Brent Key. And I've been beating this drum now for a bit, and at first it started as a joke, no longer a joke. So
there are
I am going to
there are
to
worse
stick with
ideas.
It.
There are worse
yeah,
ideas.
You could hire Jeff Collins again.
that's the worst idea. I had a couple of tweets that have just continued lighting my phone up every 4 minutes since the middle of the game yesterday all the way through now. About how Jeff Collins is probably never going to get another head coaching job with how much better Georgia Tech has gotten the moment that he left the building.
Who gets a head coaching job first, Justin Fuente or Jeff Collins?
Fuente. He'll get something down there. I don't know. He might get Lamar or like an FCS team in like Texas. He'll probably get that. Jeff Collins.
Par for the course.
Jeff Collins might be doing something other than sports after this. I don't know, man. Like, pretty rough.
Yeah. He's going to be the poster child for like one of those new NCAA commercials.
Brent Key, I will say, it's not all roses with him. There were definitely a couple of moments of game management here where he was, quote unquote, managing the game like an offensive line coach. And that is not a compliment. Georgia Tech punted, I believe, from Duke's 36-yard line on 4th-and-1 with like a minute left until halftime. Which is all pretty unforgivable in my mind. Like, if you go for it and you don't get it. Like, and by the way, the punt went straight into the end zone. Like, it wasn't even close to being something they could have pinned him at the one or something. Straight in the end zone. So by doing that, you gain 16 yards of field position. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
There was that. They did a really poor job, I thought, of in their final two drives on offense and regulation. They did a horrendous job of like bleeding the clock to try to leave Duke as little time as possible, snapping the ball with 15, 20 seconds on the play clock pretty much every play. So there are things like that that's like, you know, maybe that's something you just sort of learn as a head coach over time, but concerning trends to point out right now. But in general, yes, not the worst idea I've heard. I have heard worse ideas, even as it relates to this particular coaching search, in articles on websites with very well-renowned names. Like,
yeah.
Would I rather have Brent Key or Bill O'Brien as my head coach? I'd rather have Brent Key every time.
Are you sure you don't want, like, another Temple coach?
Definitely not. Temple...
Okay.
No.
You don't want to go back to that well?
Didn't really work the first time. Didn't work for Miami either, so...
Yeah, well... Well, I mean, some could argue Miami would have been better off this year with Manny Diaz and Mario Cristobal at this point.
Non-zero chance that's the case.
It sounds hysterical until you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm kind of joking, but also mostly not. Yeah, mostly not.
Georgia Tech is 3-3. They will play Virginia in 2 weeks on the 20th. Is that a Thursday or Friday? I can't remember.
The 20th, sir, is a... The 20th is a Thursday.
I should know this. My wife's birthday is the 21st. So, all right, good.
Well, your wife's birthday is... Your wife's birthday is a week from this coming Friday. So, just...
Good reminder.
Get prepared. Yes, good very reminder. Good. Yeah, wake up. Wake up hungover.
Oh,
honey,
yeah.
I knew I wouldn't forget your birthday this year because Georgia Tech plays Thursday night. Yeah.
Exactly.
Whoa, yeah, that's right. Friday morning, you're hurling.
They play Virginia in 2 weeks. They're going to be favored in that game. Georgia Tech will.
Oh, Virginia is... We'll get to them in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Going to Tallahassee after that, they're going to lose that game most likely. but then at Virginia Tech, home against Miami, like, which of those teams can't they beat right now? They might be favored in Blacksburg with the way things are going.
Honestly. Oh no, they'll be favored in Blacksburg. Yeah, they'll absolutely be favored in Blacksburg.
And then
speaking of teams that are bad,
we will get to them in just a moment. So, anyways, I was impressed with Georgia Tech. I you know, Duke's a good team still. I don't think they had their best day in this game. They are a well coached team. They did lose Shaka Hayward at the very end of the second quarter to a targeting ejection. And I think that made a difference. Georgia Tech scored a touchdown coming right out of halftime pretty quickly. So that was good. But, yeah, I don't know. I still think Duke's a pretty good team. They're going to win a number of games. But it's just really weird looking at the standings right now and seeing Georgia Tech is a half a game behind North Carolina for the division lead in the Coastal Division right now.
Yeah, I know. It's wild. I mean, hey, Duke's 4-2, and I mean they got a tough schedule the rest of the way, but they have games against Boston College and Virginia Tech, and they'll be favored in both of those. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a pretty decent chance that Boston College will be at least at 5 wins, and if I was a betting man, I would consider betting on Duke to make a bowl game at this point.
Oh yeah. Oh, so. I suspect that they will.
Also, I mean, they still play Pittsburgh too, and Pittsburgh is a terrible football team. Also, I'll explain more shortly.
Which, yeah, we'll get there in just a second. Mike, we will get there. Let's do that after we remind people that Georgia Tech won 23-20 over Duke. That recap brought to you by Section103.com. It is the internet's premier place for all sorts of wonderful Georgia Tech apparel. It is good looking. It is comfortable. It is high quality. I wore mine yesterday. I think it was some Section 103 magic that helped Georgia Tech win that game. I saw a number of posts of people around Bobby Dodd Stadium and cheering from home wearing their Section 103. It is really good stuff. T-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, the official Tech gold, the official word marks, the ATL logo is available there. A couple specialty shirts for some of the different sports. I know volleyball, baseball, basketball. I know that they have some specialty shirts there. They've got some stickers. And keep an eye on their social media, too, at Section 103 on Twitter or on Instagram. They have started to make a habit out of following up Georgia Tech wins with a good sale. So if you're looking for something, this is a two wins in a row for Georgia Tech meant buy two items, they ship free. So keep an eye out on Section 103's social media as well. Use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order at section103.com. I have a number of their things. My wife loves their shirts and their hoodies. They're incredibly soft and comfortable. So as the weather cools off, you're going to need something to help support Georgia Tech. And to keep you warm, go to section103.com and use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order. Mike, you mentioned Pittsburgh's a bad football team. They beat Virginia Tech 45-29 in this game. I will throw this out there as part of the news hit that I feel like we need to do. Izzy Abanaconda, 36 carries for 320 yards and 6 touchdowns. He broke the single game record at Pittsburgh for rushing yards in a game held by some dude named Tony Dorsett. I believe
hashtag some guy named Tony Dorsett.
Yeah, and I believe he is the first to go for 300 yards on the ground and 6 touchdowns since some guy named Ricky Williams, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that seems like decent company, but I haven't really checked the record books to see, you know, who those guys are or what they did. So who's to say?
So Pat Narduzzi is totally vindicated in his firing of Mark Whipple, correct?
I mean,
absolutely, absolutely not. Absolutely not is the answer, Joey. Come on now. Absolutely not. Go ahead.
I'm just blown. I can't figure out, and I texted you this. How did Virginia Tech score 29 points in this game and fail to cover 14.5? What on earth happened in this game, Mike?
I told you this game would get weird where, like, the game would go over.
It just got, like, I mean, they, like, doubled the total here.
This is no semblance of defense. And Virginia Tech is kind of ass up front.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a concern I had coming into the year. And then Virginia Tech didn't really play any good offensive lines like the first 4 games of the year, and then they started to play like real offensive lines after that, and now it's not going very well for them. Mm-hmm. So surprise, surprise. Like, I think the defense, Joey, is fine. I don't think they're great. Certainly, they were really bad yesterday, tackling-wise, you know, in the front seven. Front seven had a rough day. I don't think this is, like, an awful Virginia Tech defense. I think they're okay. I don't think they're really good. I don't think they're as bad, necessarily, as they showed yesterday. I just think they're okay. The offense took some strides yesterday, which is encouraging, right? Like, scoring points was nice to see, and... You know, Grant Wells made some big time throws. Again, his passing numbers weren't great. You know, 25 of 47 passing is not, you know, the greatest numbers in the world, but he did throw for 277 yards, and he had a couple of really nice throws, had a good touchdown pass as well to Dewan Lofton. So, and Virginia Tech, you know, they got Malachi Thomas back, and he looked pretty good. He had 15 carries for 84 yards, and getting the ball in his hands really helped them out in the second half of last year. So, you know, I think Virginia Tech found a little something in the running game in this game. But defensively, I mean, you got to tackle literally the only guy on Pitt's offense that can really hurt you, right? And Virginia Tech literally couldn't do it, and that's really frustrating as an alum. Now, real quick, I tweeted during the game, Virginia Tech was down 31-29, and they had just scored a touchdown, and they were going for two. And Pitt's defensive line was roasting Virginia Tech's offensive tackles all game. Like, Silas Janzy and Parker Clements were terrible yesterday. And so Tyler Bowen, the offensive coordinator, called a shovel pass on the two-point conversion, which I did not hate the play call because of the way that Pittsburgh's defensive line was over-pursuing pretty much the entire game. He calls a shovel pass, which I really liked, except the shovel pass went to Jalen Holston, a six-year senior who can't really move all that well. And Silas Janzy got blown off the ball again and kind of got blown up in the backfield. I tweeted, hey, I don't hate the shovel pass call. I would have liked for it to have gone to either Malachi Thomas or Keyshawn King, a shiftier back, given the way the offensive line was playing, instead of Jalen Holston. Jalen Holston direct messages me after the game, something along the lines of, go F yourself, which I then proceeded to say, oh, okay, we're playing that game. So I posted it on the timeline, and then he deleted his Twitter account. Oh. So
you narked him out on a DM?
I narked him out on a DM, and he deleted his account, and it was absolutely hysterical.
Speaking of guys being absolutely pro hysterical. Something other than sports.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's probably got... Look, I like Jalen Holston, man. I didn't even say anything yesterday that was offensive towards Jalen Holston, but, you know, he came after me, so I ended his Twitter life. That's how this game works, baby.
Goodness.
I mean...
I don't have F a whole lot to add here. I just
F around, find out, baby. F around, find out. Like, that's how this works.
I was really hoping you were going to say he messaged you and be like, yeah, I don't know why I was in the game for that either. Like, yeah, we should have given it to one of the other guys.
Wild. Yeah. It's just, man, and this is supposed to be one of the leaders of your team, right? Like, you're worrying about the wrong stuff. Like, that wasn't even insulting. I just... You know, thought a shiftier bat should have gotten the ball in that situation.
Reading like, his own nothing against you, bro. In the wrong way. Well, there's not really one a carry, right way, but
one carry for 1 yard.
Yeah, not great. You were open to any and all criticism at that point when you're not really producing.
I don't know. But yeah, Virginia Tech's defense is playing poorly. This is just the month of October is going to go really, really bad for them. This is a bad, bad, bad football team. Luckily for the Hokies, Boston College and UVA are both worse. So that's the only kind of solace they can take. They're like the 12th worst team in the ACC.
I'm still kind of shook, confused about Pitt's defense giving up 29 points here.
Pitt's bad, man. I'm telling you, like any other team that was like halfway competent that could like stop the run, I don't think Pittsburgh's very good. I think Pittsburgh's like a 6-win team.
I wonder if this is like a little bit of a hangover from losing to Georgia Tech or something like that. Because they have not been that bad, and their defense actually looked pretty good in last week's game against Georgia Tech. Like, I don't know. This feels like a... We need to keep monitoring here. I need to figure out what's going on with Pittsburgh.
I mean, they set offense back 1,000 years when they play anybody other than Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
So this is like Pat Narduzzi wanted to do things his way, and I don't it went well yesterday because it was Virginia Tech, but if it goes, you know, if they play literally almost anybody else, I don't think it goes as well. So
I will say the one thing, and I think we've mentioned this about Virginia Tech before, but I don't think that Virginia Tech's offensive issues are coaching or scheme related. Like, when you watch them play and you watch the play calling and the game plans and some of those things, like, they make sense. And you can kind of see what they're trying to do. It's mostly an issue of the players just being able to do it, which that's not as much this coaching staff's fault. And so, for something like Pittsburgh, who their defense is pretty well documented of what they are going to do and how they're going to attack you.
Right.
And I think a good coaching staff, there have been examples like the Central Western Michigan game last year, whatever, that they lost, and the head coach afterwards was like, yeah, we knew what they're going to do on defense. We knew how to attack them. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a situation like that with Virginia Tech staff kind of knowing what to do and being able to come up with the right answer enough times to kind of keep them in the game that way.
Yeah, nah, I'm with you. I think Virginia Tech will be better like in a year or two. I think this is going to take some time, though.
I agree. You know, and especially in the day and age of the transfer portal, I mean, you never know how quickly that might go. And
that's true.
You get one guy that wants to transfer in to play quarterback and a couple of skill guys around him and an offensive lineman here or there, and, like, all of a sudden your offense is, like, a totally different animal. That's on the table.
And I think Brent Pry, like, if he could go back and have a do-over of his first, like, 6 months on the job, he probably would have hit the portal a little harder. They've had some injuries and stuff offensively, like not having Malachi Thomas until yesterday. Guy who was a breakout starting running back towards back half of last year, like that obviously hurts a lot. But you know, I think he probably would have gone into the portal a little bit harder than he did if he could have a do-over. That's my opinion.
Yep. Pittsburgh 45, Virginia Tech 29. Number 5, Clemson 31, Boston College 3. Boston College played your asses off. Red Bandana game, homecoming, all that. It wasn't enough.
And I get that, like, on the scoreboard going into halftime, like, it looked competitive, but watching the game, it didn't really feel competitive. Like, BC was playing really hard, but there was a clear talent deficiency there, and, like, it felt like Clemson was just kind of like, okay, do we really need to play this game? Okay, like, they were just kind of, like, slogging along. Like, it wasn't their most efficient effort. But then, like,
hangover after the last 2 weeks.
I think so. I mean, you go and you play an overtime game against Wake, and then you play a really, really tough NC State game at home, and now you got to play BC, and they're not very good, and you know you got plenty of talent. Like, remember in the COVID year, BC had Clemson on the ropes, if you'll remember, because Trevor Lawrence went out with COVID, and that was DJU's first start, and then he started the following week against Notre Dame. And I remember BC had Clemson legitimately on the ropes in that football game. And this didn't feel like that at all. It didn't feel like Clemson was ever really, like, in trouble here. And then you turn around in the second half, it's 31-3. So Clemson's, we've talked about this, and again, not their most efficient performance yesterday, but, like, Clemson offensively, you could tell they're starting to find something here. And defensively, they had kind of the blip on the radar against Wake Forest where, like, defensive backs didn't play particularly well. But now it's like they're kind of rounding into form a bit where they look like they could. And considering how some of the other top teams in the country have looked recently, you're telling me, like, Clemson can't go into a game? Again, I think the top three teams in the country, Bama, had some issues yesterday. Then there's Ohio State, and then Georgia keeps screwing around. You know, there's supposed to be these three teams, right? They're the three teams to beat, and then Clemson and everybody else underneath them. I'm starting to think that gap is narrowing a little bit. And I want to give some. And I want to, yeah, at least with Clemson, I want to give credit to Tom Fornelli of Cover 3 because he mentioned that on the recap. He said, I'm not sure that the gap is as wide as everybody thinks it is now between those top three and everybody else.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to come around on that a little bit.
Yep. I agree with that. And I think certainly if you look at Clemson versus Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama. Clemson's getting better. I would say that I think Ohio State's getting better. I'm not sure that Alabama and Georgia are getting better week over week. Like,
I don't think so.
You're seeing those teams have issues that have not been popping up in recent, you know, until recent weeks. Like,
Brett,
Clemson decidedly looks better than they did a month ago. Ohio State looks better than they did a month ago. And so,
right,
you project that out over the next 2 months, basically, you know, and start looking towards the playoff. Things might be a little bit more interesting there in December and early January than we thought they would be earlier in the year.
Yeah.
As Clemson continues to build on what they're doing here.
Right. Now Alabama apologists will scream, well, they didn't have Bryce Young against A&M. It's like, yeah, but like even in games they had Bryce Young, like they committed 15 penalties against Texas. Like they just haven't looked the part.
Hell, Bryce Young's about the reason that they won a couple times already. Well, like he's the only reason they won those games.
He's the only reason they beat Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, he willed them to victory in the fourth quarter with how he played.
Yep.
That was Heisman Bryce Young that showed up in the fourth quarter. So without him, they lose that game.
Yep.
So, and they got a tough one this coming week.
Yep.
So.
They do. I do just want to point out too, Boston College again played their asses off in this game, and the effort there, it was a spirited effort for sure. It's just
absolutely.
You just didn't have enough to.
They play hard,
Clemson.
They play hard for Halfley. Yeah. I mean, they definitely play. They haven't quit. You know, we've kind of been like, oh, is BC quitting? I don't think they're quitting. You know, they beat Louisville and then you know, they get blown out last night, but they were definitely playing hard.
Yeah, their schedule down the rest of the season is pretty rough for a team that's currently 2-4. At Wake, at UConn, home against Duke, at NC State, at Notre Dame, home against Syracuse. Boston College is not making a bowl game at this point.
No,
and
I don't think so.
And it wasn't something that I'd really thought about until we got the email a week or two ago, I think, from Kevin Carpenter. We might need to have a bit of a Jeff Halfley conversation if this is what it's turned into in year three.
Yep.
But we can do that and save that for another time.
We're starting to get some more data points that suggest that 2020 may have been an aberration, Joey, in a weird COVID year.
Oh, you mean in college football sense? I thought because 2020 was kind of an aberration in every sense of the term.
I meant in the case of Boston College on the field, but yes, also in real life.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll come back to that. Clemson 31, Boston College 3. Mike, reports of Scott Satterfield's demise at Louisville might have been slightly premature. Louisville 34.
Greatly exaggerated.
Louisville 34. Yeah, that's the proper way to end that meme.
Please. Yes.
Louisville 34, Virginia 17.
Play the music, Joey. Joey, play the music.
What music? What? Oh, God. Oh, it's this again. Oh, no. This is going to get us demonetized on YouTube, by the way. We'll talk about that later, but... Anyways,
yeah.
Not that we are monetizing. Louisville was without Malik Cunningham in this game. Something named Brock Doman, Dooman, I don't know, was the quarterback, and sorry, we'll stop the music now. Brock,
good, because I was gonna get through that.
Brock Doman. Demand something.
Do man.
They racked up 34 points on Virginia, and they won this game by 17. Virginia, by the way, got out to a 10-0 lead in the first quarter, and you thought, oh, here we go. Here it comes. And then Louisville goes on a 34-7 run over the rest of the game to win this game comfortably. Virginia, speaking of Kobe Bryant Memorial Volume Shooter of the Week Award nominees, Virginia's offense in total, 25 carries for 6 yards. 25 carries for 18 feet of total offense, Mike. Like, yikes. Brennan Armstrong with a couple of interceptions. One of them in particular was pretty terrible. Brock Dooman somehow looked competent in this game. I really thought Louisville was dead in the water by the end of the first quarter here with no Malik Cunningham and just the way things have been going. And for them to go out and just whip Virginia for three quarters to end this game is, it's a good sign that Louisville's not quitting, A. And B, it's like, what is happening in Charlottesville right now? You could have put the final nail in Scott Satterfield's Louisville coffin, and
right.
You got smoked.
Yeah, Pete Thamel from ESPN put out the tweet during College Game Day that Cunningham was out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I tweeted, oh, Virginia is going to get Scott Satterfield fired today. I should have known better.
Mm-hmm.
I should have known better. No, they're not. Like, UVA is the worst team in the ACC somehow.
Yeah, it's not good.
I mean, and that's tough in a year where, like, Virginia Tech and Boston College are also playing in the same conference. Like, it's mm-hmm. tough to win that award. I think they're the worst team in the ACC, Joey.
I can't help but feel like they don't have to be, but they are.
They're bad. It's the offensive line, like, we've talked about the issues they've had up front all year, but, like, the offensive line being a problem showed up yet again. Like, that reared its ugly head. I mean, you mentioned the rushing numbers are really, really bad. They really got to figure something out here. You know, I think, you know, some of the first year head coaches, you know, throughout the conference have kind of taken their lumps, right? Like mm-hmm. Brent Pry, obviously, and, you know, Elko's had a really nice start, but that's, like, not the greatest loss in the world to Georgia Tech yesterday, interim head coach situation.
It is not.
So, I mean, Mario Cristobal, we've already covered plenty of ground there. So, like, but, like, Tony Elliott might be doing the worst job out of all of them. And, you know, Joey, you called this, like, months ago,
mm-hmm.
and we saw the hires on the staff, and there were some questions there. And I know people are going to laugh at me because, you know, I'm a Virginia Tech alum, and I've been criticizing their coaching staff for the better part of the last 6 weeks. But it's worse in Charlottesville. Like, it's worse. And it's a low bar to clear considering how some of these other teams have performed in the conference this year. I mean, Louisville, you know, offensively, you know, really was able to still kind of do what they do in this game. Like, a couple bad turnovers by something named Brock Duman. But other than that, like, I thought the offense performed pretty well. I mean, they were able to run the ball, you know, pretty well in this game. Had almost 200 yards on the ground as a team. Something named Brock Duman had 9 carries for 71 yards and a touchdown here. You know, Travion Cooley had another nice game on the ground, too. Just Virginia's kind of like, they're not very good in the trenches on either side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And neither is BC and neither is Virginia Tech. And all three teams are kind of finding themselves in that same situation where they're just not very competitive in games against teams that have decent team speed, which I don't think anybody's going to argue, like, Louisville's got team speed. So there are issues there for sure with UVA moving forward. I don't see how they make a bowl game.
Let me ask you this. If Virginia still had Bronco Mendenhall and Robert and I in that staff, if they hadn't run them out on a rail and those guys were still in charge here in Charlottesville, they currently have wins over Richmond and Old Dominion. They have losses at Illinois, at Syracuse, at Duke, and home against Louisville. They're 2-4. If they had Bronco, Anai, and everyone else, what would their record be right now?
I'd say at worst 3-3.
I kind of agree. I'd say 3-3 or 4-2.
3-3 or 4-2. I think they probably, and again, like, some of those losses, I will say, like, in UVA's defense, some of those losses are aging pretty fine, like wine, baby. Like,
Illinois
Duke's been decent. Illinois is flat out good. I mean, there are some losses in it that aren't too bad.
I think it sucks looking at that Illinois loss and realizing you were pretty uncompetitive. Like, that's the thing. You might have lost that game, but you wouldn't have lost 24-3.
Right.
You might
have
lost 24-17 or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, losing that game by 3 scores, and again, Illinois is good, but they, like, don't really have an offense, so the fact that you lost a game by that much to a team that can't really score on anybody else is really disheartening.
Yep. I think they probably would have won this game, too, by the way, for what it's worth.
Oh, I think so, too.
They would have been able to put that final nail in this coffin for Scott Satterfield. I will say this. As far as I'm aware right now, Scott Satterfield is still the head coach at Louisville. It would not shock me if tomorrow they still make that move. And if you're saying, well, they won the game, you know what? Once again, we know where this is going to end up at this point. Like, it's pretty clear he's going to get fired. You're going into the bye week right now. If you're going to make a change midseason, this is the time to do it. So I would say over the next maybe 48 hours or so, keep your ears up, you know, keep an ear out for news on this. And if he makes it past Tuesday of this week, all right, I guess you're sticking with it for another couple of weeks. We'll see how it looks against Pittsburgh, Wake Forest, James Madison, Clemson, NC State, and Kentucky. By the way, Pitt is the only one of those teams that's not ranked this week. So, I mean, Louisville very unlikely to make a bowl game at this point. But, you know, we'll see.
Virginia Tech fired Justin Fuente after a win.
Yeah. I mean, again,
so
we all know what's going to happen. I don't know there's a lot of value to waiting another 3 weeks to do it.
I'm saying. If you know what the outcome is, just do it. And especially in this day and age in college football, like, you got to.
Mm-hmm. You do. Louisville 34, Virginia 17. Last one, Mike. Wake Forest 45, Army 10. My goodness, this is a very different story than the game was last year when they played.
The troops are down bad, Joey. The troops are down bad.
They are, and I feel like Wake disrespected them a little bit with this scoreline. I'm just kidding. No, they didn't. Yeah, it was 38 to nothing late in the third quarter before Army was able to actually get on the board in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, really clean, good showing by Wake Forest. Not a whole lot more I could ask for from them.
They ran for 221. They threw for 267 as a team. Mitch Griffiths got in. Through a touchdown pass. I mean, this was a solid performance by Wake Forest.
Yeah, this is a walkthrough in a game that, again, last year was a back-and-forth shootout that featured 126 points, the whole thing. And to come away from this with a five-touchdown, easy cruising-to-a-win kind of situation, that's really impressive. I think a really good coaching job by the Wake Forest staff.
I mean, I put the game on for a few minutes in the second quarter. I saw it was already 14-0. Wake was driving again. I was like, okay, this thing's going how I expected. Army couldn't move the ball at all. I'm like, I'm not watching this.
Yep. So credit to the Deeks. I don't have a whole lot else here, Mike, unless you do.
No. Good.
Wake is good.
Wake's good. Army's down bad.
Yeah. Wake is good. They get Boston College at Louisville up next. They're probably going to be 7-1.
The ACC is going to have multiple New Year's Six teams.
Ooh, that's a take. I like it.
And is it the wrong one?
I don't think it is. I think you're probably
Clemson,
right.
Clemson right now, I'm not picking against them to get into a playoff. And then there's Wake Forest and NC State. They're two very competitive teams. Oh. North Carolina is 5-1.
Ooh.
Continue.
I remember something. I said this on the solo show that if I don't know if you listened to it or not, but if you didn't, I want you to start naming the best teams in the ACC. And I want you to tell me how many of those you're going to name before you get to a team in the Coastal Division.
Oh, no. Clemson.
Start. Yeah, go. Number one.
Clemson. Clemson, NC State.
Two.
Wake Forest.
Three.
Florida State.
Four. Are you going to say Syracuse?
No. No.
Are you sure? Who is Syracuse not better than in the Coastal Division?
Would you take in a Syracuse-Carolina game right now?
Neutral field, probably Carolina, honestly.
Yeah, right? There it is.
I trust Carolina to score.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? So I think that's when maybe you say Carolina.
Maybe.
And then Syracuse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that sideline Syracuse account is going to be screaming at me tomorrow morning on the timeline for doing this, by the way. Be screaming at me.
Once again, our customer service line at Mike McDaniel SI on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be calling me crazy. I mean, Syracuse won the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
They beat something called Wagner last week. They'll be fine.
It's a double bye.
It's a double bye, yeah.
I think that's an interesting point or something to consider, though, is that I think there is kind of a pretty good upper end of the ACC right now, and I think it is kind of those 4 to 5 teams. The problem is they all play each other. There's going to be some cannibalism there of teams beating each other. But I do feel like this is kind of the best that that top third of the ACC has been in a number of years, it feels like.
You could end up with, like, and I don't think Florida State's a New Year's Six team this year, but you could end up with, like, 10-2 Wake, like, 11-1 NC State, 12-0 Clemson.
That's like, mathematically that's on the table.
That's on the table. Like, Wake's got to play NC State.
Yeah, they're going to go to Raleigh here in a few weeks. And
right.
Neither one of those teams has to lose another game outside of that one.
Right. And it's a coin flip. Like, that game's going to be a coin flip. Like, that's going to be really entertaining.
Yep. Sure will. Wake 45, Army 10. Mike, you want to give out some awards?
Let's do it.
All right. Go ACC moment of the week was something that happened. So I referenced this earlier in the NC State Florida State game where NC State had a drive where they ran a play from the Florida State 13-yard line and kicked a field goal. The thing was, that was the first play of the drive, and you might be thinking, well, NC State ran a kickoff back or a punt back or something to the 13. No, no, no. What had happened was, Mike, Florida State lines up for a punt. They snap the ball to the punter. There is a rusher coming in to block the punt. The punter wisely pulls the ball down, steps to the side, and starts running. And it's like 4th and 13, but my man has daylight. He has got it. He's got a first down and change if he wants it.
And at punt, the last, baby, punt.
Yeah, and at the last second, my man's like, nope, this is not the assignment. The assignment was to kick the ball. Let's just do that. The problem was that the problem is he decided to do that about 3 yards past the line of scrimmage. That's an illegal kick. It is a 5-yard penalty and a loss of down. So instead of punting or getting the first down, you just gave the ball away, and NC State got the ball in a short field and then lost 23 yards and then kicked a long field. So
he remembers if he goes off schedule, like, without the look, so to speak. Like, the defense didn't give him the look, but he decided to run on his own. He knows he's going to have to run wind sprints. He was like, wait a minute. I got to run wind sprints? Punt.
My man is over there psyching himself up to punt, listening to Lose Yourself by Eminem. Talking about his one moment to capture, let it slip. Mom Spaghetti, the whole thing. Yeah. It was definitely a Mom Spaghetti situation. So go ACC to Florida State's punter. Good stuff there. Mike, the Brian Van Gorder Memorial You Tried Award of the Week goes to your Virginia Tech Hokies defense.
Yeah, Izzy Abanikanda, 320 yards, 6 touchdowns. Virginia Tech, you try to pride yourself on stopping the run, right? Like, that's supposed to be a thing with Brent Pry, supposed to stop the run. They didn't do that.
Like, not even once.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah. When your defense goes out there and 60 minutes later they are finding themselves on the wrong end of stuff where you're doing stuff for the first time since guys like Tony Dorsett and Ricky Williams.
Yes.
Not a good situation.
Like college football Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not great. So, good job, Virginia Tech. You tried. And honorable mention, by the way, this shout out to my buddy Adam. The Georgia Tech Duke officiating crew, they got about 56 minutes into this game and decided, we have not been noticed nearly enough here. We're going to make this about us. There were some weird, weird penalty calls with the game on the line, really both in the fourth quarter and in overtime, benefiting both teams. What are we doing? Swallow the whistle. You've been swallowing it the whole game. Just keep it down.
The head official is like, I like me some of me.
Just glad there wasn't a swallowing joke in there, Mike. Anyways, Kobe Bryant Memorial Volume Shooter of the Week Award. We can start with the Miami run game. Going for, what was it? I'll pull it up. Hang on. Here it is. It's here.
Parrish had 11 carries for 17 yards, I believe, right?
19 yards, sure.
19 yards. Bad.
Jalen Knighton and Thaddeus Franklin had 7 carries for 21 yards. So the collective group had like 18 carries for like 37 yards, which is not great.
The real winner is the UVA rushing attack. 25 carries for 6 yards.
Big yikes. Not great.
Yes, and honorable mention outside of the ACC, I don't know what he finished with, but Illinois backup quarterback Art Sitkowski was 10 of, at one point yesterday in Illinois' win over Iowa, 9-6. Sitkowski was 10 of 15 for 16 yards at one point yesterday.
Obscene. Backing up our old friend Tommy DeVito, by the way.
Here's the ACC tie-in.
Go ACC to that. Mike, that's all I got. Team of the week.
Oh, God.
Louisville?
It's got... Are we...
Pittsburgh?
Sure. I was feeling queasy and going to have to say Pittsburgh, but I think Louisville, given the situation with their coaching and everything else, I think it's got to be Louisville.
I'll give it to one of those two. Yeah, sure. Sure, Louisville. Go Cards. We'll do that. Player of the week. Is there one?
Izzy Abanikanda. I mean, Izzy Abanikanda is the player of the week. I don't think there's any other candidate, really.
He's the national player of the week. That'll probably come out tomorrow.
Yeah, so let's not recreate the wheel here, Joey.
Yeah, don't make it too complicated.
That's right.
Mike, that's all I got. Anything else on week six?
We have any Queen Elizabeth Memorial awards to give out? Anything?
How did her favorite knight, Sir Vassier Dennis, do in that game against Virginia
He did have
Tech?
A sack. He did have a sack on before halftime. Before halftime, Grant Wells took a pivotal sack that knocked Virginia Tech out of field goal range. So that was quarterback's a work in progress.
There you go. Yeah, that's putting it nicely. Buffalo 38, the Bowling Green Falcons 7. So that's a casual 31-point loss. I bet that means Scott Leffler is back on the sidelines, and that's why they're getting
killed. I was going to say. Glad he's healthy, but, you know, it's to his team's detriment.
It's not good for his team.
That sounded worse than I intended. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I just mean when he's coaching, it doesn't go very well. That's all I was implying there. I wasn't implying that he should die so his team should improve. That's what it sounded like. So I just want to get that in the clear. It's not what I meant. That's what happens.
Mike, I'm going to clip that sound so it sounds like you're saying that exactly. So thank you for offering that in audio form.
Good. Excellent. We can work that into every preview and recap the rest of the way.
Thankfully, nobody's listening to this anymore. All right, that's all I got on week six.
The only person still listening is that guy Ariel Espinoza from BetUS.
The GOAT.
If you know, you know.
if you know. Nobody knows, thankfully. All right, Mike, that's all I got on week six. Let's get out of here. You guys can go find us on Twitter. We're going to come back, by the way, and preview week seven. So week seven and week eight, if I'm not mistaken, are the two, like, breather, like, short weeks. Yeah, so we've only got 4 games week seven, 4 more games week eight, if I'm not mistaken. Pretty much everybody's got a bye week one of these 2 weeks. But we will keep it coming your way. This is a good time to get caught up on listener emails and some of those things. So if you've got content, 5 games week eight, by the way. Send them all our way. Longest email address known to man, basketballconferencepodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Thank you. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at FTRS Joey. He's at Mike McDaniel SI. Together we're at BC Podcast ACC. We should be getting producer Scott back soon. He has been gallivanting around Italy, and I believe we'll now be back to help produce videos on YouTube. Go search for Basketball Conference on YouTube and go find us, because we don't have a dedicated URL yet, but if we get to 100 subscribers, we do get that luxury. So go, that's your homework. Go find us, subscribe, and like videos and such there. You get to see our ugly mugs on there. It's a nice benefit to you. You get to see if we get demonetized for using certain sound effects like the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. That's a thing that happens. It's fine. We do it for you.
If that's what it comes down to, we're going to keep playing the music, baby.
There's no getting out of it now.
No.
Mike, we are on iTunes. We're on Spotify, all those good places you go find your podcasts, as well as YouTube. Where else can they find us on social medias?
Facebook. Facebook.com/basketballconference. Rate, review, find some of our podcasts there.
Please do. Please do. We're on Instagram. Do it for the gram.
We are.
Go find us there.
Bitches love the gram.
Yes, I do. Mike, that's all I got on week six. Anything else before we get out of here?
Let's get out of here before I say something offensive.
Way too late for that.
Okay. Well,
you want to come recap week seven? Preview week seven?
Yeah, preview week seven. We're at the halfway point almost here. I mean, some teams are there. Some teams aren't. We're in that weird spot. Next 3 weeks, we're kind of at that halfway point of the year, mm-hmm. getting the second half of the schedule. So
yeah, we are. Yeah, this is the really fun part where the rubber really meets the road with conference play and coach firings and big games and all those things. So
between now and the first week in November, you learn a lot about the state of college football. So mm-hmm. this is going to be fun next few weeks.
It will be. Looking forward to it. Mike, have a good night. Get some rest. We'll come back and preview week 7 later this week.
Sounds good.
All right. For that guy, Mr. Mike McDaniel, I am Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will talk to you again soon. And until then, go ACC. Yeah!